purpose-driven approach, they are humble, compassionate, and trustworthy because those are the traits that help build good relationships. Anthony Lucero.
Alabama's governor says he is not resigning despite a move to impeach him. Governor Robert Bentley allegedly had an affair with a top aide. He says he's not stepping down. This is USA Radio News.
Have you been to USARadio.com? The latest breaking stories, the hottest news, and the best radio all in one place. It's available for free on your smartphone, on your computer, and you can listen with your Bluetooth-enabled car. You can listen to classic radio theater, Daybreak USA with Angie Austin, and my new show that takes you from online to on air, your news feed on the radio, Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphries. Check it out, USARadio.com. That's USARadio.com.
A week before tax day isn't a good time for the IRS headquarters in Washington, D.C. to close its doors, but officials don't have much of a choice. After a Monday afternoon fire, government officials have announced the building will remain closed for the rest of the week. Officials are reassuring taxpayers that returns are not processed at the headquarters, so they can continue to be filed this week. The second-hand chair where the first two Harry Potter books were written is going up for auction today. It comes complete with a letter from author J.K. Rowling describing how it became her favorite when she started the novels. Rowling eventually hand-painted it herself and even signed her name on it. Heritage Auctions has the bidding starting at $65,000. People who live in Teaneck, New Jersey say wild turkeys are terrorizing their town. Sarah Lee Kessler has more.
They've been known to harass mail carriers and block traffic, but Courtney Lepchinski says a gangster turkey hurled himself through a dining room window recently while she and the kids were sitting down to dinner.
Broke through the glass and shards of glass were flying at us from every direction.
New Jersey Fish and Wildlife agent Amy DeChesser appeared at a town meeting Tuesday night explaining turkeys are more aggressive this time of year because it's mating season.
You can humanely harass it and make it feel unwanted on your property.
Water hoses and loud noises will do. Sarah Lee Kessler, New Jersey.
This is USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Order comes just days before Turkey's president meets with Vice President Joe Biden in Washington for a nuclear security summit. About 700 family members and other U.S. civilians assigned to an air base in Turkey are affected.
We had 6 operatives taken into custody, ISIS operatives from the caliphate who basically have been talking about this imminent threat.
The State Department says the decision was made out of an abundance of caution. There have been 2 bombings in Turkey this year, a car bomb in the capital of Ankara, and a suicide bombing in Istanbul. This is USA Radio News.
In college sports, team colors play a powerful role in every aspect of the game, from team jerseys to mascots to game day gear. We caught up with ESPN college basketball analyst and official LG color commentator, Jay Billis, for tips on using color to create the ultimate game day experience during March Madness.
For me, the ultimate game day experience comes down to 3 things, and the first is how you watch the games. Step it up with a screen that makes you feel like you're courtside. LG's OLED TVs are stunning, delivering perfect blacks and over 1 billion colors that are truly lifelike. TVs like these make watching from home even better. Brand new stats from LG Electronics and verified by Elias Sports Bureau show that teams wearing blue and red jerseys have made it to and won the most championship games over the last 30 years. Check out more team color stats at LGGameDay.com.
Sometimes game day foods get messy.
You got to protect your game day gear, which makes products like LG's Twin Wash Washer that can wash two loads at the same time a slam dunk. You can always be confident your team colors won't get tainted with that infamous red sock.
You can do game day right by incorporating some of these fun, colorful tips into your March Madness experience.
Ampere technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon, it's Talented People. Hope you're having a great day. I'm Jeannie Murphy. It's 3:02 already on March 30th. Oh, my goodness. Let me give you an update on the weather forecast if you happen to be listening in our area today. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low about 39 degrees. Thursday, partly sunny with a high of 69. Thursday night, showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm, mainly after 3 a.m. Cloudy with a low about 58. Friday, showers and possibly a thunderstorm with a high of 68. Showers likely with a possible thunderstorm again on Friday night before 9 p.m. Then a slight chance of showers between 9 and midnight. Mostly cloudy with a low about 44. Saturday, slight chance of showers after 9 a.m. Partly sunny with a high of 57. And then Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low about 32. Mostly sunny all day on Sunday with a high of 44. And then partly cloudy with a low about 26 on Sunday night. We're going to go to our break, and then we have a call-in guest today. Her name is Connie Kelly, and she's going to tell us about what she's up to. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
All right, welcome back to the show. It is already March 30th, and I'm Jeannie Murphy. It's 3:05 in the afternoon. We have a guest who's calling in today, actually. Her name is Connie Kelly, and she's with CK Communications. Connie has facilitated, coached, and consulted with all levels and all in a variety of organizations over 20 years. Her experience blends her skills in human resource management, planning, and the design and implementation of continuous learning programs with a solid understanding of business cultures. She's down to earth with an enthusiastic style, and her common sense approach helps her clients realize the power within and how to achieve a greater sense of confidence and capability. She's worked with several executives and frontline associates in leadership development, customer service, communication skills, email writing, presentations, conflict management, and team building. She's on the line right now. She's also got a Bachelor of Science degree in journalism from West Virginia University, and she's a certified yoga instructor and connects understanding the importance of body awareness and breathing for effective self-management. Connie, thanks for calling in today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Let's hear a little bit about you and your experience and why you focus on helping business professionals communicate more clearly.
Sure. Thanks, Jeannie. Well, I've been in, as you said, I've been in the training and development industry for a little bit over 20 years, and I've worked in a variety of industries, manufacturing, information technology, financial services, healthcare, customer call centers. And there's one thing that everybody has in common, and that is I'm asked often, you know, how do I communicate more effectively? What can I do to sound more confident? How can I make sure that I'm sending the message that I really want to send? And so I focus on helping others communicate clearly to help them do their jobs better and also to help build their confidence. I'm sure that you'll agree our lives would be a lot easier if we could all kind of figure out how to make sure that the message we're sending is received and that we're receiving the messages that are being sent, you know, so that there's a clear understanding. So many times conflict arises because we're not understanding each other. And so I get the opportunity to go into different organizations and conduct workshops and also do some one-on-one communication training to help others figure out, you know, how do I do that through all of the channels that we have.
Okay, so let me just ask you, can you tell us a little bit about CK Communications?
Oh, sure. It's my own company, and I specialize in helping individuals and other large organizations communicate with each other so that you learn to communicate with your colleagues and the people that you work with, your coworkers, management, as well as customers and vendors, so anybody that you really are interfacing with throughout the day. I've been in business. I've had my own business now for a little over 10 years, and I not only work for myself, so I have several of my own clients, but I also work for a couple of training companies, and I facilitate their programs as well.
Interesting. And where's your company located at?
In Montville. New Jersey.
Okay.
So Morris County.
Okay, good. I'm just curious, are you on a cell phone or are you on a landline?
I'm on a landline. Are you having trouble hearing me?
No, you sound just a little hollow. I wasn't sure if maybe you were talking too close to the mic. You do sound clear. It's just I hear a kind of hollow noise, so.
Oh,
I wasn't
okay.
Sure.
Well, I'll change location and see if it gets better.
That might help. Okay.
Is that better?
Yeah, actually.
Okay. All right, good. Maybe it was just where I was sitting.
So can you tell us a little bit about, like, how did you get into this?
Well, my background, I started out the first 10 years of my career, I was in public relations and marketing. So we have a lot in common.
Yeah.
And I was working in the healthcare industry as the director of community relations for a couple of hospitals. And then I joined the Prudential in Holmdel, PruPac, which was the property and casualty division. And in that job, it was a combination of training and development and employee communications. And so I was able to blend my writing and presentation abilities with being able to then teach other people how to do that. And that was really my entree into training and development, and that's where I really learned how to do that. And then, so I was with Prudential for several years, and then I went out and went into the consulting business, and I worked for a training company for many years. And then I broke out on my own so that I could really just have a little better family work balance because my children were young and I was doing a lot of traveling and I wanted to be in charge of my own schedule.
Right. Oh, absolutely. That's a very interesting story. I'm going to take a quick break right now. It's only 3:10, and then we're going to get back and focus on communication. I want to ask you specifically some of the common mistakes again and, you know, how to be more confident about that. So stay right with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big Z of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
All right, welcome back to the show. My guest today calling in is Connie Kelly of CK Communications, and she was going to tell us a little bit more about what CK Communications does. And also want to mention that, Connie, you're going to be speaking, or you're going to be facilitating something at the Women's Leadership Summit on April 19th at the Ryland Inn, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, I'm going to be doing a breakout session, and I'm going to be focusing on using the different channels of communication, specifically in business. So we're going to look at email, texting, phone, and face-to-face, and how to use all of those to your advantage.
I'm sure it's going to be very interesting. If anybody wants to sign up and attend this Women's Leadership Summit, it's going to be at the Ryland Inn, White House Station, New Jersey again. It's the 7th annual Women's Leadership Summit. And you can call the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce or just contact them via email to register. So, all right, well, Connie, then let's talk about communication a little bit more specifically. Tell us a little bit more about how people can communicate better.
Sure. So, well, some of the common mistakes that that I've picked up and work with folks on is that we tend to not really think before we speak. So, and actually, let me even back that up a little bit further. We tend to not even listen before we speak. So we need to first learn to be really good listeners and then think about what it is we're going to say and then say it. And when we can kind of slow the process down a little bit, make it a little less competitive, we actually end up spending less time communicating. We become more efficient and more effective because we're really listening for the whole message, and then we're taking our time about how we're going to respond. And so, you know, I think that the two common mistakes is, one is we don't listen entirely to what the other person is saying. because we're crafting our own message, really, you know, we're thinking, how am I going to respond, or do I have a similar story, or what kind of advice can I give this person? And so often, we miss the whole point. So I like to encourage people to sort of like slow the process down, be with the other person, listen to what they're actually saying, so that when you respond or you ask a question, it's pertinent and you can solve problems more quickly, and it just the whole system, the whole process just goes a whole lot better. It's, you know, much more effective.
Can you give us an example of that kind of conversation?
Well, oh, sure. Let's say, for instance, you and I, we work together, and you come to me and you're upset because a customer of ours didn't get a shipment that they were expecting, and you know you're telling me this whole story, and they didn't get the shipment, and now they're gonna, you know, they might have to slow down their inventory, and you know this is gonna really impact our business. And so while you're telling me the story, I'm thinking to myself, okay, what can we do to solve this problem right now? We got to get the, you know, we're going to have to call, you know, the shipping company and find out what's going on. And I've stopped listening to you. And so you're still talking and telling me the details of the problem. I'm solving the problem, but I haven't really heard it all the way through. So I might come back and go, okay, Jeannie, here's what we're going to do. We're going to call the shipping company. We're going to get on the line. We're going to find out what's going on, and we're not going to pay them. And you say, well, wait a minute. I just told you we already did all that. See, and you can see how that can happen. And so, sorry. Okay, so now tell me again what you were going to do. And see, now we've broken down that process of communication because I stopped listening and I started solving the problem instead of letting you tell me it all in its entirety. So that's one example. And another example is, let's put it in communication between friends. You might come to me and be telling me all about, you know, you're on your way to work this morning, you got a flat tire, and you were really upset, and you tried to, you know, call the towing company, and so now you're going on and on and on. I go, oh, you know what? That exact same thing happened to me. So what I did, and now I'm off and telling my story. So we tend to, there's a difference in conversation, and then there's a difference in actually helping people solve problems or just being present with them. And we often tell a similar story. We want to give advice. We want to solve the problem for them. We want to shut down the other person's emotions. And in to be a really effective communicator, we need to be listening at a level that we understand both the situation and the impact that that situation has had on the other person. And when we do that, then we can express empathy sincerely, and we can help each other get to the crux and solve a problem or just feel better or diffuse an uncomfortable situation. So you can see how that can work.
Absolutely.
I'm not really sure why we do it that way, but I think that's kind of how we're taught.
Mm-hmm.
my mission is to get us all to just slow down and pay attention to what's going on around us.
No, it makes a lot of sense. What about when you're training someone? How long does it take to really kind of get someone to change that? Like you said, they're so used to it. It's like the way that we operate. How do you get them to change? How long does it take?
It could take a lifetime.
Yeah.
It really does depend on how entrenched some of those habits are. And really, that's what they are. What I like to do is first raise your awareness to it so that, you know, just kind of point out that maybe that's the way you communicate. And think about that. Think about what the impact is. I talk a little bit about language and the importance of the words that you use and the tone of voice that you use. And so most of my programs are a day long. You know, I do lunch and learns, and I do, you know, like breakout sessions like I'm doing at the Women's Summit. But most of my programs are anywhere from a day long, sometimes 2 days. And then in some cases, if I'm doing coaching, it could last over several months.
Mm-hmm.
But the question of how long it takes for someone to change that habit is really up to the individual. I've seen changes in people right in a day. You know, they, at the beginning of the day, they're communicating one way. At the end of the day, they're aware of it and they're aware of the language they're using, and they're starting to already make changes. And then after that, it's up to practicing it and being committed to make those changes. And then once you start to see the results, which is true of anything, even dieting.
Right.
Once you start to see the results, you go, oh, okay, this works. Okay, good. I'll keep doing that. That's excellent.
So when you're talking about those examples that you shared, are you training the person on both the pitch side and the listening side? Or how do you, like, debundle that? Like, I'm learning as we speak, you know, about mm-hmm. what you're saying. And so I'm wondering how if you're telling someone that when they start their messaging or communication, you know, to be more direct, or what is that? And then on the listening side, you know, to stop jumping ahead, you know, but letting your brain run ahead of you, like you said, slow down. I get that.
Uh-huh. So your question is, how do you go, how do you do both? So
When you're training someone, are you telling them, listen, both, no matter which part of the conversation you're in, the person who's being told that the customer's shipping, you know, is messed up, or if you're, the other person.
Okay.
Yeah, just clarify a little bit, please.
Right. So you've got the person that's doing the listening has to slow down, you know, be present, really listen to it, all of that. And then the person doing the speaking, when you're the one speaking, if there's certain language that you want to avoid, and you use the word direct, and that is, that's a key word for me. I say that a lot. I ask people to think about how you can express your ideas more directly. So we use a lot of vague language. Like, for example, I'll try and call you tomorrow. Well, are you going to just try to call me tomorrow, or will you call me tomorrow? Or please send me the report as soon as possible. Well, what is as soon as possible? Or I can get that quote to you by the end of today. Well, what's the end of today? So it's thinking about managing expectations, managing and setting expectations. So rather than me say to you, well, Jeannie, I'll try and give you a call tomorrow, I say, I will call you tomorrow. And not only am I going to tell you I will call you tomorrow, I'll say, Jeannie, I'm going to call you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Will that work for you? See how that is a completely different message than I'm going to try to call you.
And if you say it like that, then I don't have to think of the questions I'm going to ask you back, like, what time tomorrow? Like, you concisely told me what I needed to know.
Exactly, right. And if you say, see, and then we can negotiate the deadline. You can say, oh, no, 3 o'clock's not going to work. How about 2? You know, whatever. You know, so now we're working on the same plane. And then the phrase as soon as possible, we use that all the time. And I always tease. I say, you know, okay, so what is as soon as possible? It's my as soon as possible, yours as soon as possible, and so on, you know. So it's too vague. Whereas if I said, the example I said is, please send me your report as soon as possible. Well, I don't really mean that. I don't really mean send it whenever you get around to it. I really need it by a certain time. So I could say, please send me that report, your report by Friday. And then you could say, well, I'm not going to be here Friday. Will Monday work? You know, we can negotiate. And then I might even want to go a step further and say, please send it to me by Friday so that I can close the file. So now I'm giving you an explanation as to why I need it by then. And often people will say, well, it sounds bossy, you know, I sound like I'm being demanding. Well, you are if you demand it with an exclamation point, but if you say it nicely and you say please and you give an explanation, people are more likely to work within your time frame if you give them a time frame rather than keep it vague.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And I do think that out there for the listeners, you know, I want to remind everybody that Connie Kelly is with CK Communications, and she's actually going to be facilitating a breakout session about this at the Women's Leadership Summit 2016. It's the 7th annual one being held on April 19th at the Ryland Inn in White House Station, New Jersey. So if you'd like to find out more information or register, you can go to the website, huntertonchamber.org. Connie, I do think it's interesting for people out there to know that what you're saying, you know, is something that I'm sure a lot of companies don't even think about. And then what you're offering is a lot of, you know, direction, really, and, you know, to pretty much solve a lot of problems that I think happen all the time, because what you were describing happens all the time. And if people are listening right now, like I said, like I'm learning, then, you know, this is something that you, I could see being very meaningful to companies, both for almost, you know, the executive level and then all the way down to just even customer service.
It is. You know, I get the kinds of comments that I get after workshops are, oh my gosh, I never really thought about it like this, or nobody ever told me that I should do that, or gosh, here I thought I was doing it the right way all this time. And it's not that it's wrong, it's just that there's better.
Right.
And we just need to sort of think about, all right, how is that message coming across? Another example that I have noticed is there's something, and I find it more common among women than among men, although it does happen with both genders. Two things. One is a sense of upspeak. So an upspeak is, so Jeannie, is it okay if we get together at 2 o'clock?
Oh my God! Yeah,
you know, and now that I've made you aware of it, you'll hear it more often.
Yes,
it's what that does is I lose my confidence in somebody if they're speaking to me that way, because it sounds like everything is a question. So I coach people to make sure that the cadence of your voice and the tone of your voice reflects confidence and the knowledge that you have. You know, like I'll be in a room and I'll say, look, you're all experts. You all have a great deal of knowledge. Communicate that in a way through your tone of voice that tells the other person, I know what I'm talking about, so don't phrase things as if everything is a question.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that I've noticed is that instead of thinking and having an opinion and knowing things, we feel things. So, for example, Jeannie, I feel like this interview is going really well, and I feel like a lot of people are going to get a lot out of it. Well, do I feel that, or do I think that, or do I know that, or am I confident about that? See the difference? And so I don't really know how that has seeped in, but I noticed that a lot. Instead of saying, well, I think this, or, you know, phrasing it confidently, we can
right.
feel things.
Right. Well, the feeling, it is less confident for sure. And the high speaking is definitely insecure, almost insecure. You can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, we're going to actually, it's 3:28 right now, so we're going to go to our break for the news and weather. It's going to be about 5 minutes. And then we get back. I really want to focus on some of these crafting the messages face-to-face on the phone, if that's good with you.
Sure.
All right.
Thank
we'll
you.
Be right back. As Townspeople, I'm Jeannie Murphy. It's already 3:28 on March 30th, and my conversation today on the phone is with Connie Kelly, CK Communications. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Audrey Strong.
Forensic evidence and video evidence both support the belief that Clark was not handcuffed at any time through the altercation.
A county prosecutor says two white police officers in Minneapolis will not be charged in the shooting death of a black man. Jamar Clark was shot in the head last November after a struggle with police. Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman announced at the news conference that evidence did not support criminal charges against officers Mark Riggenberg and Dustin Schwartzy. Freeman says evidence showed Clark was never handcuffed and that he had gotten a hold of an officer's gun.
These facts corroborate Ringenberg's belief that Clark was forcibly pulling on his belt and holding his gun.
Freeman says civilian witnesses offer conflicting accounts of whether the victim was handcuffed. The officers had responded to a call that Clark had allegedly assaulted his girlfriend. This is USA Radio News.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
Have you been to USARadio.com? The latest breaking stories, the hottest news, and the best radio all in one place. It's available for free on your smartphone, on your computer, and you can listen with your Bluetooth-enabled car. You can listen to classic radio theater, Daybreak USA with Angie Austin, and my new show that takes you from online to on-air, your news feed on the radio, Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphries. Check it out, usaradio.com. That's usaradio.com.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz sounded off on Donald Trump in a town hall last night. Senior correspondent Jason Ward has that story.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz appeared on a CNN town hall saying Donald Trump really is not the favorite of Republicans, but he's been the beneficiary of party division.
What Donald benefits from is division, because Donald has had pretty consistently a floor of about 20 to 25%. But he's got a hard ceiling of about 35 to 40% that he has a real hard time breaking.
Cruz said he will beat Trump in the upcoming primaries and seal the nomination. I'm Jason Wirt.
Meanwhile, the three remaining Republican presidential candidates say they're taking back a pledge to support the eventual GOP nominee. During that town hall in Milwaukee, Donald Trump and John Kasich said they would have to evaluate the nominee before making an endorsement. Ted Cruz sidestepped the question and said he plans to win the nomination. Cruz also said he does not think the nominee will be Donald Trump. This is USA Radio News.
Do you love to run, swim, cycle, or walk? You don't have to be a star athlete to make a difference with Team Samaritan's Purse. Use your next athletic event to raise funds for the worldwide relief projects of Samaritan's Purse, bringing food, water, and shelter to people in need. Team Samaritan's Purse provides you with your own fundraising webpage to make it easy for friends and family to support you by donating online. Go to samaritanspurse.org and select Team Samaritan's Purse under Get Involved.
Federal investigators are going over the contents of an iPhone belonging to one of the San Bernardino shooters. A federal law enforcement official says the phone belonging to Syed Farouk has details about his work as a health inspector for San Bernardino County. The official did not say if any of those details were related to the December attack that killed 14 people. Many Americans need to brush up on their knowledge about the Zika virus. Tammy Rose has more.
A study from the Harvard School of Public Health found that about a quarter of Americans aren't aware of the biggest concern about the virus, which is that it can cause babies to be born with abnormally small heads. Another 20% of people polled believe there's a vaccine for the mosquito-borne illness when there actually is not. Meantime, nearly half of the people surveyed didn't know Zika can be transmitted sexually. For USA Radio News, I'm Tammy Rose.
America's private employers are hiring. Today's ADP jobs report shows 200,000 new jobs were created this month. More than 95% of those new jobs are in the services industries. Smaller business led the way. Firms with fewer than 50,000 employees added 86,000 jobs this month. The leading sectors were trade, transportation, utilities, and business and professional services. The manufacturing sector is in positive territory as well, adding 3,000 new jobs in March. This is USA Radio News. Breaking news at usaradio.com.
Thanks for hanging in there during the break. This is Talented People. Our guest today calling in from CK Communications is Connie Kelly, and she's been giving us some information, kind of teaching us a little bit about how much more effective communication can be if you know a couple little tips here. So, Connie, tell us a little bit more about crafting the messages face-to-face versus on the phone or by email and text, etc.
Okay, so one thing to keep in mind is that real-time communication face-to-face is the most real communication that you can have. And the reason for that is that some studies show that only in face-to-face communication, only 7% of the message is communicated through your words, 38% of the message through your tone of voice, and 55% visually, which translates to, if you think about how we speak with one another and when we look at one another, we're picking up a lot of nonverbal communication, body language, gestures, eye contact, facial expressions, and that's helping to create the full message. So when we're face-to-face, it's a little bit easier to communicate clearly because we can look at someone and say, okay, they look confused. Maybe I need to change my message or re-explain that in a different way. Mm-hmm. Or they look like maybe they're upset. I need to check in and find that out. Find out what's going on there. What can I do differently? So we pick up on all of these nonverbal cues when we're communicating face-to-face. So now we go to the telephone, and telephone we lose that visual, unless, of course, you're on Skype or something like that, which isn't great anyway. But
and that's what I was going to say.
On the phone,
yes,
you only have tone of voice and words. So now your words become much more important, your choice of words, and the tone of voice is about 80% of the message. So if you say, well, you know, good morning, thank you for calling CK Communications, well, I'm saying good morning and thank you, but I'm not really sounding like somebody you want to do business with. So you've got to make sure that when you're on the phone, your tone of voice reflects the way you are feeling, and that you're sending the signal that you really mean to send. And then we move to email, and 100% of the message in email then is communicated through words. And interestingly, is the tone is crafted by your relationship with the reader, the punctuation that you are using, the context within which the message is being delivered, and then, of course, word choice. So you want to be thinking very clearly about what you're saying when you say it in email, because you might be able to say something in person or over the phone, and it might not translate well in email. That's why, for example, sarcasm and humor is very difficult to communicate through email or through writing.
Unless they use like an emoji or something, yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so we want to be really careful about, you know, I can't wink at you unless I use an emoticon, you know, if I'm teasing you. So I want to be really careful about that. So, you know, you have to always be thinking about what kind of an impression is my customer, my reader, my colleague, my coworker, my friend, my spouse, my family member getting of me by the way I'm communicating.
Right.
So that's the first step, is to really understand how that process works, and that it takes a conscious effort to step back and say, all right, what is it that I need to do? And then, you know, and then you throw in texting, and that's a whole different ballgame, because it's got its own language.
Right. Well, I laugh at the email thing because I always use an exclamation point after hi, like hi, Connie, exclamation point. Hope you had a great weekend, exclamation point. And it just drives my husband and my kids and my business partner completely crazy, because people who don't know me are like, what is she, nuts? Like, what's she mad or what's her problem or whatever?
You know, just she's so happy all the time.
Yeah, it's over the top. Like, and it's such a habit. But it's funny because at the same time, when some people write me, if they don't write things on the beginning like, hi, how are you, best regards, or if it just says I'm on my way, then I'm always feeling like, where's the personality? Like, I think that what you're talking about is so important in so many ways. Certainly the face-to-face thing, I think Skype is a massive problem when you talk about being on the phone and stuff, because we know even from the radio here, they were doing that, we're on the phone and all about, you know, how's what we're trying to say coming across. I could see that I wasn't getting my message across to you before, and I was trying to explain what I was trying to think. It's so interesting. But I want everybody to know that what we're doing right now is having a conversation here on Talented People with Connie Kelly of CK Communications, and she's sharing with us some of her wisdom on what she does professionally, training corporations, individuals, and so on. And she's also going to be speaking at facilitating a breakout session at the Women's Leadership Summit April 19th at the Ryland Inn in Moy Howe Station, New Jersey. So if you're listening and you're finding what she's saying interesting, you might want to get in touch with the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce to see if you can register. Connie, you know, it's already 3:39, so I wanted to just ask you, where did you want to add from here? I know that there's, you know, we talked a little bit about the vague language and so on, and, you know, why don't you just share with us some of your other thoughts?
Sure, thank you. I always have more to say.
Yes, I can tell. That's good.
Well, you said something that actually piqued my interest and something that I would like to just share with you, and that is, you said, well, you know, using those exclamation points drives my husband and my business partner and my kids crazy. So that's an interesting thing to think about, because we want to think about our audience. So there may be people in your life when you're communicating with them in that way. So for them, you don't use the exclamation point because they're not really looking for it. But others, You know, it's knowing your audience, and mm-hmm. you're in radio. You understand that. You do talk to the, you know, have guests on all the time. So it's important for you to sort of like, okay, who's my audience? What are they interested in? How do they like me to communicate with them? And let me just back up to email for a minute, because what we want to think about as writers, so we tend to be writer focused as opposed to reader focused.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that we sit down at the computer and we say, okay, I've got to send an email off to so-and-so. So Jack, all right, here, dear Jack, da, 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 tap, 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 send, and off it goes. And what I encourage you to do is take a moment and think about, before you even begin to write your message, think about, who is Jack? What does Jack know? How does Jack like me to communicate with him? Bullet points? Does he like long sentences? Does he like exclamation points?
Right.
You know, he's the kind of guy that likes that friendly conversational. These are things that you want to think about. And then, what's the best way for me to organize my message so that Jack gets it in one read? Run mm-hmm. one read through. So I'm thinking about my reader as well as my message.
That's great advice.
Yeah, and so for your family and your business partner, you can drop the exclamation points, but I can tell you that if you write to me and you have an exclamation point, I'm thinking, oh, great, I like that. She's friendly.
Oh, that's nice to know.
Nice.
Thank you. No,
it's kind of just understanding who it is that you're communicating with and communicating with them in mind as opposed to just yourself.
That's great. Love it. I think what you're doing is so interesting, and I do know that there's probably so many types of coaching, I want to say, and applications. Like, we're just talking right now about messaging. It's almost an hour. What other services do you talk about in your CK Communications?
Well, I do a little bit of conflict management, and I help teams work better together. And it doesn't, you know, they don't even have to be in conflict. But what I do is help them get to know each other in a different way, learn how to work together. So, you know, with some problem solving techniques, if there is conflict. So conflict, in my mind, isn't a bad thing. It's just that sometimes conflict becomes confrontational. And so we need to figure out, okay, let's have this conflict. Let's have a disagreement. This is a good thing. Let's figure it out. You know, maybe we'll come to something better in the end. So how do you do that? How do you work through that? So that's some of the of other what I do. Most of what I do really does revolve around communication. But I also do some business etiquette training. I like to work with folks that have just come into the workforce who maybe don't really, you know, they've just gotten out of college, either undergrad or grad. This is their first time out in the working world. You know, what are some of the do's and don'ts and some of the nuances and things you might want to be paying attention to?
Can you give us a couple examples?
Sure. You know, let me just go back to email, for example. Make sure, if you're brand new out of school, that you remember who it is you're communicating with. So I had a guy come into one of my classes once, an email class. And he brought in a sample of his writing, and he said, would you take a look at this? You know, my manager, he wants me to get better at email. And so I read the email, and it's like, hey, how you doing? You know, got the info for you. Let me know what's going on. Best, John. I said, so, John, let me ask you a question. How old is your boss? Like, my age? And I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I've been in business for a long time. So I go, so you're like, is he my age? He says, yeah, he is. I said, okay. So we don't want to communicate with him like this, you know, so it's like little things like that. So think about, oh, your boss is older, maybe you need to, you know, treat that person a little bit differently. Pay attention to the way you dress, make sure your shoes are shined, make sure your hair is neat. When you go out to lunch, don't do all the talking. Make sure that you have a few questions lined up so that you can ask the other person questions, involve them, and encourage them to talk. Little things like how to, you know, you sit down at a dinner table and you've got all that silverware. What do you do with it all? You know?
Right.
So little stuff that maybe they didn't pick up along the way, or they were so focused on getting their degree that, you know, some of those lessons were lost.
Right. Well, I could also imagine, like, you know, when you're talking about, and I, even coming into the workforce or even already, you know, being in the workforce, there's personalities that are so different. One person, there's that type of person that is not going to stand up and kind of observe things that are bothering them and just kind of harbor them. And when it gets to, like you said, there may be a conflict to be resolved, or it may not even, there may not be one, but how do you get those people to be kind of assertive enough with a little confidence to make sure that they're communicating what they're thinking? And then also then you have the other personalities that just kind of take over, and, you know, there's like, it's almost like there's the subordinate, it's my way or the highway, right?
Yeah, right. So what you said at the beginning is so true, is that just understanding the different personalities mm-hmm. is helpful. So mm-hmm. be aware, like pay attention to what's going on around you. And if you're the kind of person that isn't assertive, that tends to hold back, I encourage, and soft-spoken, I encourage them to understand how they may be being perceived. And so if you're shy and you're quiet and you don't speak loudly or you don't speak with authority, you may not be believed. And you're credible and you're smart and knowledgeable and you have good ideas, so you want others, you're hired for a reason, you want others to know that. And so I encourage those folks to practice, to really role play, to practice with a partner, somebody that they trust, find a mentor, somebody that can help them along the way. And in my workshops, I actually do a little bit of assertiveness training in terms of language and thinking, you know, like thinking differently. And in terms of working out some of those conflicts, what we need to do is check it out. I always say to people, don't wait until it's become such a burden to you that you're carrying this around with you that it's bigger than it really ever needed to be. Like, if somebody says something that offends you, you don't confront them, but go and ask them, check it out. Say, hey, what did you mean by that? Can I just check that out? Did you mean this? Or can you explain more about what you want me to do on that? I always say, hold a sense of curiosity and question. And when we do that, we tend to feel less offended or defensive. It's more of like, hey, let me just check that out. Let me assume best intentions and find out what's really going on. And then I can make an educated decision as opposed to going from my feelings, which is not always the best place to start.
Right. Well, you know what? We're going to go to our quick break right now, but I want everyone to know that you're listening to a conversation. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People with Connie Kelly, CK Communications. And I really want you to know, Connie, that everything that you've been saying, especially, again, even as importantly as everything else, the first half of the show, what you're saying about being assertive and you were hired for a reason. You know, if you have something to say, speak up. It's great advice. So we'll be right back. Just a second or two. It's already 3:48. Thanks for listening in today.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
All right, welcome back to the show. Thanks for listening in again. I'm Jeannie Murphy. It's already 3:49, and I'm having a conversation. I hope you're enjoying it. We're learning a lot, I think, about communication here with our guest calling in, Connie Kelly, who, again, I just want to remind everybody, is actually going to be facilitating a breakout session at the upcoming Women's Leadership Summit for the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce on April 19th at the Ryland Inn in White House Station, New Jersey. So if you are interested in
attending, just contact the chamber, or you can go online and fill out the forms right there. Connie, are you there?
I am. I'm still here.
Oh, great. Thanks so much for holding through on the commercials and being on the show today. I'm sure everybody's enjoying it. Why don't you just take the next about 7 minutes to tell us whatever else you think is most important for our listeners out there.
Oh, my goodness. I feel so empowered.
Yes. Well, you know, it's so interesting. Honestly, you know, I'm getting so much out of it. I didn't want to interrupt you. So I was like, let's just keep going because time goes so fast.
All right. Well, I think just to sort of wrap up the whole conversation is that I just want to encourage your listeners to think really carefully about how they're coming across. You know, believe it or not, I actually spend a fair amount of time in my workshops on teaching people how to answer the phone. Now, that might sound a little odd, you know, like, of course, you pick up the phone and you say hello. And I gave an example earlier, but, it's important that you think about how you're coming across. And you're completely responsible for that. That is up to you. That's all your choice. And so you can answer the phone with a tone of voice that says, I'm too busy, I can't talk to you right now, you know, make it quick, you're an interruption. Or you can answer the phone welcoming the person in, you know, I've been sitting here all day just waiting for you to call. And you have to think about how you set the tone of the conversation. And that is very true, not even in telephone communication, but in face-to-face communication. What kind of an impression are people getting of you when you greet them? Just when you greet them. And so what happens is we know that you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And what we do then is we either seek evidence to confirm the impression we have, or we seek evidence to change that impression. And because I'm responsible for the kind of first impression that I'm going to make with folks, then I want to be in charge of that. I don't want them making up things about me. So I think clearly, all right, do I greet people with a smile and openness, and do I make eye contact? When I shake their hand, am I shaking their hand firmly, not gripping it, not limply, but firmly, that says, hey, I'm important. I'm somebody you're going to want to get to know. Am I, when I'm on the telephone, am I exuding some kind of energy and enthusiasm and helpfulness? Do I sound helpful? And when I record, so I'll go around the room and I'll take a recorder and I'll just go around the room and say, just answer the phone like you normally do. And people will say to me, oh my gosh, I sound angry, or ooh, gosh, I don't know, you know, or I sounded kind of mean. I'm like, yeah. So what happens then, you have to think about what their reaction to the other person is. So when you do that, so you answer the phone and you're sounding mean, they're intimidated. They're not going to be so likely to work with you. They're going to start working against you right away. It's just human nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if I could just leave you with this idea that, you know, be in charge, be aware, be actively involved in the relationships that you're building with others, whether it's a first-time relationship, first and only, or it's your first time into a lasting relationship, especially with customers and clients, you know, folks that we work with on a regular basis. And then all of the channels. And so that kind of brings me around to texting.
Mm-hmm.
In business, we want to be very careful of the whole text thing because it can derail a good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like your example is, I'm on my way.
yeah.
Can I get there? Okay. You know.
Right. Right.
It's just we want to really think about that and ask yourself, is texting the channel that I want to be using? Is that really the appropriate thing, the appropriate way to go? Often it's not. Not in business, anyway. Mm-hmm. And I'll say to people, they'll say, well, you know, my clients, they text me. You know, they want me to text them. I say, great. Then act like text is your email. Use punctuation.
Right.
Use full words. Make full sentences. Don't use emoticons. You can use a smiley face once in a while. It's okay. But, you know, think about what kind of an impression. It's a business relationship.
It's interesting that you say that, just because you are the professional here. I'm curious, like, what do you think about
you know, Twitter is like the standard operating procedure for many businesses now, and they, you know, have limited it down to like 140 characters, so you have to, you know, cut it down, and then, you know, sometimes you have to leave behind the punctuation, and that's what they're learning, and so it must be so difficult, because I agree with you, I'm like more of a traditional person, so, you know, I'm expecting when I'm especially working with someone who's younger than me, I want them to kind of get up on my game, and I want to also be courteous to their environment, what they're doing, but it's got to be pretty weird in the middle there, don't you think?
I do. I really do. I think it's appropriateness. You know, you don't want to come off all stuffy and old-fashioned either.
Right.
So, in terms of Twitter, it's got its own language. You can be pretty creative with the words that you're choosing because you have to keep it short. Same with texting. There are some things that are sort of overlooked. You know, once upon a time, you'd be so embarrassed that
right.
autocorrect, you know.
You're right.
You'd be so embarrassed, like, oh, my gosh, I came up. But people are like, oh, autocorrect again. You know, we sort of get it. And so it's a balance. I always say, okay, now when you 20-somethings are running the world, we'll all
yeah.
speak, we won't have any vowels, and we won't use punctuation, and we'll probably end up grunting at each other, you know, and we'll know what that means. But in the meantime, we've got one foot in each boat, and we need to be really careful about what we're communicating. And making sure that, you know, we're doing it the way we want. They are, that what's getting said is what we really mean.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. You've shared so much about communications today for us and with us. And I just want to thank you for being on the show and also remind everybody again that you're going to be facilitating one of the breakouts at the Women's Leadership Summit, which is really an amazing event that they have every year. This is the 7th one. Michelle Sikirka, who's just an awesome, awesome person, and the president of NJBIA and CEO, is going to be the keynote speaker that day, along with a lot of other really talented individuals who are sharing their expertise just like you did today.